From the Gospel according to John. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." He said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." A joyful occasion for celebration in the company of Jesus' disciples in the church, when we recall the life and legacy of one of the apostles of the Lord. Yes, it is the feast of Saint Bartholomew. I say we recall the life and legacy, but what do we know of his life? And what is his legacy? Of his life, in the sense that the writer of a biography or obituary notice might require, very little, it's true. Born in Cana, we learn, brought into the company of Jesus by Philip, himself an apostle. Oh yes, he was not called Bartholomew in the gospel text we've just heard, but Nathanael, no matter. The change that occurred in his own heart in Jesus' company was more remarkable still than a name change. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" are the first words he's reported as having said in the gospel. Have you noticed that when you're faced with a big decision, and often perhaps more quickly than you would have liked, you toss around for guidance, and while you're thinking, you spurt out some wisecrack or smart remark, as if to deflect those in your company from thinking you are actually taking time over making a decision. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was not a question that Bartholomew wished to have answered. Like so many, he thought he knew the answer before asking it. But this time, the smart remark was not met by silence or another wise crack, but rather a gentle but clear invitation, "Come and see." The immediacy of Bartholomew's response to a situation does not change, at least not yet. And in my reading of it, he's not best described as being humble either at this point. When Jesus says about him, "Ah, there's a true child of Israel, no duplicity in that man," Bartholomew's response is, "How do you know me?" And it gets just a little more embarrassing still, certainly at first reading. When Jesus tells Bartholomew he has seen him even before Philip called him, Bartholomew's response frankly sounds like a tempestuously mature, immature and premature expression of loyalty to a man he certainly had not yet begun to know. Or perhaps Bartholomew was one of those sensitive souls who can spot clarity and transparency in Jesus immediately. Or thirdly, might Bartholomew just have trusted Philip, who had introduced him in the first place? That was the call of Bartholomew. As a result, he would be present on a number of occasions we continue to regard as crucial in the life and legacy of his master and ours. These include the Last Supper and, not long afterwards, that anxious and mysterious Sunday morning when, doors closed for self-protection, the Lord himself bursts in without doing damage, entered without breaking, shall we say. Yes, the risen Lord was among them, and their world of locked doors and hearts was no longer going to rule them. Tradition links Bartholomew with some of the early preaching of the message of Christ in India, but not a great deal of detail is available, though, like most of the apostles, there is the belief that he gave his life for Jesus and the gospel message. In that sense, too, he was one of those who could and would taste the chalice their Master and Saviour tasted on Calvary. So much then, or so little, for the life and death of Bartholomew. But what of his legacy? Here, thankfully, a great deal more can be said. Like all the apostles, Bartholomew transmitted for the rest of his life the message of the kingdom, the good news, gospel mercy and peace of Jesus, and did so from a heart and mind that had seen the Lord and had his own eyes and heart opened to the divine compassion that was now incarnate. Like his fellows, more famously, those whose summary of Jesus' teaching became the Gospels we associate with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Bartholomew, we can be assured, also pointed out how Jesus was indeed the one the people had hoped would come, the one the people of Israel had placed their trust in for so long. The tradition of the Church's teaching that constantly looks forward to today's and tomorrow's disciples and invites people still to come and see Jesus, come and meet him, come and meet those also who share his philosophy, share his compassionate heart and his honesty in inquiring about the meaning of it all. So can anything good come from Cana? Yes, and for sure. Not just the superb quality of wine at the wedding feast, which the fourth gospel is about to narrate on the next page, but also this man, Nathanael, now Bartholomew, whose life changed when Jesus spotted him and Philip, already a companion of Jesus, asked Nathanael to come and meet his new teacher. The rest is sacred history, and all of us are part of that, and may even form a greater part than we have done up to now. Yes, even to those who think they know Jesus already, Philip or any disciple can ask each of us yet again, come and see Jesus.